Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
We're starting a series on the perfect light, Jesus, this weekend. Hey, come to church every Sunday, okay? Bring someone to church. And I'm glad that I know Jesus personally, and He is the perfect light in my life. And if you've given your life to Jesus, hey, celebrate that you know Jesus personally, and He is the perfect light in your life. He is the perfect light in your family. He is the perfect light in your situation. He is. And this is what Isaiah said about Jesus, the perfect light. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. By the way, Isaiah prophesied about this, prophesied this thousands of years before Jesus was born. He said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Jesus came as the perfect light. He came as the light that the world needed. And then Jesus himself said this about him as the light in John chapter 8 verse 12. In fact, he makes that statement after having a hot debate. You know, pastors, you know it. Jesus had a hot debate with the Pharisees, with the religious leaders. And, you know, he made this statement in John chapter 8 verse 12. "I am the light to the world. And those who embrace me, those who welcome me, will experience what? Life-giving light. And they will never walk in darkness." Listen, at the time Jesus came into this world, the children of Israel were in darkness, spiritual darkness. But they were also experiencing political darkness. They were under oppression by the Romans. Spiritually, I mean, they had walked away from God. That's why the Pharisees, who were actually supposed to be spiritual leaders, I mean, they were against Jesus all the time. There's never a time those religious leaders said, "Whoa, this is the man we've been looking forward to." There's never a time. They hated him because they were in spiritual darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. And those who embrace him, who welcome him, will never walk in darkness. Now, let's just ask ourselves. I think we need to ask ourselves this question. It's a very important question. Why is Jesus the perfect light? Why is Jesus light? Is the light that cannot be compared to any other light? Why? Why is it important for us to understand that Jesus is the perfect light? And why did Jesus call himself the light of the world? See, Jesus was good at using ordinary things, things that people knew, ordinary objects, to communicate the spiritual truth. He was good at it. And so he says, "I am the light," for a reason. So I'm going to give you two reasons why Jesus is the perfect light. Why he called himself the light. One, light has power over darkness. Light will always have power over darkness. And you don't need to tell light overcome darkness. The moment the light comes on, darkness leaves. We don't train light to chase away, to dispel darkness. Because by nature, light is more powerful than darkness. Hey, we do not need to concoct the power of light. Light has power in itself. One time I walked into this building, and I tell you, if we switch off these lights, the darkness that is in this room is scary. I walked into this auditorium, and there was no single light on. It was pitch dark. I mean, it was thick. The darkness, it was touchable. And I walked out because I didn't know. I thought, what's going on here? Nobody enjoys darkness. If you enjoy darkness, then there's something that is wrong with you. Darkness, by the way, is associated with evil, isn't it? I remember when I was growing up, again as a child, we feared to walk at night. We feared. Because we feared somebody might jump on me, where, you know, as I'm walking back home or wherever. People fear darkness because people fear ghosts. Not so. Ghosts might show up in the dark. I mean, nobody likes to drive at night on the streets that are not well lit. Not so. You know it here in Kampala because there are people who take advantage of darkness. By the way, thugs are more active when it's dark than when it is today. You know what I'm talking about. Thieves are more active at night when it is dark. By the way, even people who are sexually immoral, it's that they wait for darkness to do their thing. Are you hearing me? Darkness is terrible. Darkness is oppressive. Come on, darkness doesn't give people hope. Darkness enslaves people. I mean, I have had the opportunity of traveling, Pastor Peter and Pastor Philip and Huntington. They have had the opportunity. And some of you, you go to other parts of the world, and all the streets are well lit, and all you do is drive with sanity, because otherwise you might step on the accelerator and lose control, because there's something that is unique about light. Light overcomes darkness. Light overpowers darkness. Right now we're able to see each other here because of light. Guys, you're able to see some good girls in this room, in the balcony, in the auditorium here because of light. If we switch off the light, you will not be tell. You won't be able to tell who is who. We're able to see each other. By the way, nobody, right? Because there's light here, nobody will, what's the right word? Push their hand into your bag or into your pocket. But if we switched off the lights here for 30 minutes, there are people who will start reaching out to other people's bags, and including even their pockets. I'm telling you, we men, you know, there are those who can reach out. I should not be, yes, because of darkness. That's why we need Jesus. Because when sin entered the world, darkness came into the world. But Jesus came as the light that overcomes darkness. Is it making sense to you? By the way, I think some of you who have learned, you read a lot. In countries where people rarely see light, sometimes people don't see light for 24 hours. That is day and night. Let's be grateful for the weather in Uganda. I know sometimes it gets warm and we complain and we want to be in those cold countries. But thank God that, the weather here in Uganda is favorable. But in those countries where people rarely see light, the rate of suicide is higher. And there are during winter, people are more depressed than in summer. Darkness depresses people. We're now talking about physically. And that's why people, when it's winter in those countries and summer here, you see a lot of tourists. Not so. There are more tourists who come here during summer Because they want to have light. That is the power of light. Jesus, John actually is the one who writes this about Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus is the perfect light that overcomes darkness. Every form of darkness, spiritual darkness. And I will share some stories of how Jesus, the perfect light, made a difference in people's lives. Also, the other thing about light is it gives life. Oh, think about plants. Some of you have beautiful plants in your houses. Do you know what your plants gravitate to? It is toward light. You see them bending or leaning toward the direction of light. Plants, we're not talking about human beings or animals. Plants are searching for light. They're looking for light because plants cannot survive without light. In fact, there's no plant that can be green without light. There's no plant that can produce fruit without light. Let me tell you, friends, without Jesus in us, our lives are meaningless. It's true, you may have a lot of money, you may have a good job, you may have one degree after the other. By the way, I'm told Robert Mugabe is one of the most educated people, leaders, most educated people, most educated Africans. He has 7 academic, not honorary degrees, academic degrees. But I'm not going to say, I'm not going to talk about his legacy in Zimbabwe. I won't. Let me tell you, without Jesus, whatever you have, whatever you've achieved, whatever you've attained, whatever you possess is meaningless. It's only Jesus, the perfect light, who makes a difference in the lives of people. Only him. Because money comes and money goes. Wealth comes and wealth goes. Let me tell you. Even when you get married, one day you're going to die and you leave that woman behind, or that woman will leave you behind, or that man will leave you behind. The only person who will never leave you behind, who will never forsake you, who will never forget you, is Jesus. The only person you will never be separated from is Jesus. Oh, light gives life. Come on now. The reason we have life here is because of light. You know, look at these lights. Wow, and it used not to be like this. Then we changed. We said, let's get better lights. Let's get more fancy lights, okay? For the sake of God's people. You know what I'm talking about? We don't want God's people to sit in a dimly lit building. Okay, we don't want God's people to see. You remember when Pastor Gary walked into this building? There was only one bulb, in the ceiling, one bulb. Today, look at how beautiful this building is. And by the way, you've made a contribution. Your giving has made this difference. We have nice lights. I tell you, it's life-giving. Now, when you talk about spiritual light, I tell you, when I say I missed you, I missed you. The moment I walked, I walked in here yesterday. There was something that happened to me. I say I'm at home. This is a life-giving place because of the light of Jesus. Because Jesus, the perfect light, is the owner of this church and the head of this church. Jesus, actually in John chapter 8 verse 12, say this, I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light. And they will never walk in darkness. I'd read that a while ago. So let me just share with you some stories. Let's look at some stories. Examples of people in whose lives Jesus, the perfect light, made a difference. Jesus, the perfect light that overcomes darkness. And Jesus, the perfect light that gives life. There was We have the story of a woman who was caught in adultery. I mean, you all know that story, don't you? So Jesus was actually teaching in the temple area, and crowds had gathered around him. And then the Pharisees suddenly appear with the woman before Jesus, and they paraded her before Jesus and say, "Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. And in the law, Moses commanded us to stone to death such women. What do you say?" That was their question. And they wanted to trap Jesus, by the way. That was their goal. And so Jesus did not say anything at that point. He bends down and starts writing on the ground. Maybe I'm just guessing. Jesus began writing the names of each of those men who paraded Jesus before that woman, and against each name, you know, a list of their sins. I'm guessing, please. But they kept questioning Jesus, "What should you say? What do you say?" And then finally Jesus speaks up and says, "If anyone among you has never sinned, let him be the first to cast a stone, to throw a stone at this woman." And Jesus bends down again and continues writing. "Michael, this is what you have done. Calvin, this is what you have done. Hannington, this is what you have done. Philip, this is what you have done. Pascal, this is what you have done." And when we looked over what Jesus had written down, when we looked at it, we saw our names there. I'm not talking about you, because you're exempt. Listen, when those men saw what Jesus had written down, their names and the sins they had committed, one by one they started retreating. And the Bible says the older ones, the adults first, the ones to walk away, meaning there are young ones also there. Listen. Listen to what Jesus says. In fact, let me just quote what Jesus said. You know, Jesus looked up and said to the woman, "Where are they?" They were nowhere to be seen. And Jesus then says, "Have they condemned you?" You say, "No, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This woman was experiencing spiritual darkness, the darkness of sin. She was caught in adultery. It seems like it implies she was married. That's why the Bible talks about adultery. She was married. She could have been a married woman. Hey, I don't think somebody in their right mind enjoys adultery. I don't think so. But you know what? When you're in darkness, you can do it. I don't think, you know, the women we call prostitutes enjoy being prostitutes. But because they're in darkness, they do it. Hey, when somebody is in darkness, they can do anything. And these are some of the manifestations of darkness. People stealing from others. People murdering others. Cheating on your spouse is a manifestation of darkness. Lying is a manifestation of darkness. Tribalism is a manifestation of darkness. Violence is a manifestation of darkness. Lawlessness is a manifestation of darkness. This woman was experiencing spiritual darkness. And to make matters worse, the people who were in darkness, who caught her, were acting in darkness, out of darkness, because they were in darkness. They wanted to, they condemned her and they wanted to stone her to death. I tell you what, I don't like, I hate theft. I hate theft. And when somebody steals, you know, my car mirror or whatever it is, I feel very bad. But I will not condone mob justice. The stoning of people, the beating of people in public. But then, can I tell you something? My own brother was killed because he stole a goat. Now, what he did was wrong. It was wrong. But a mere goat, he was brutally killed. Mob justice. It was my mom's firstborn. Christopher. So I know it. Listen to me. When Jesus comes into our lives, he expels the darkness of sin from our lives. Hey, this woman was set free from the bondage of sin. That day, Jesus shone his light in her life, and she never remained the same again. Jesus said, I do not condemn you. Therefore, go in peace and sin no more. Maybe you're here and you feel condemned. Maybe you're here and you're ashamed of what you have done. Maybe you're here and you're carrying the guilt of what you have done. Maybe you're here and you're in spiritual darkness. Can I tell you something? There is Jesus, who is the perfect light, who will make a difference in your life. All you need to do is to come to Jesus, is to give your life to Jesus, is to surrender your life to Jesus. You can, and it makes a difference. Your story will change. Your name will change. Oh, and he will no longer call you a sinner. He will call you his very own. Another story. What's the other story, Philip? It's the story of the blind man, a demon-possessed, blind and mute man. Blind, mute, demonized man. And we are told that he was brought before Jesus, who had a demon spirit that made him both blind and unable to speak. Jesus healed him instantly. Whew. And he could see and talk again. By the way, my own mother is blind. She became blind when she was an infant. And it was not illness. It was a jealous stepmom who dropped into my mom's eyes a poisonous herb mixed with water. And my mom lost her eyesight instantly. That is what people can do when they're in darkness. As innocent as she was, a child. Hey, let me tell you. Somebody had the guts to destroy innocent child's eyes. One thing I thank God for is my mom later on gave her life to Jesus. Even though she doesn't see physically, she sees spiritually. I mean, how I wished my mom had her sight. How I wished. I'm being honest with you, as a child. Because I saw my contemporaries, other children who had their moms, and what their moms did to them. And I longed for it. Let me tell you, this blind man was in bondage. He was demon-possessed and could not speak. He couldn't see. But Jesus made a difference in his life. When he had an encounter with Jesus, the perfect light, he was set free from the bondage of blindness and muteness. And people were amazed by but the Pharisees again said, oh, you see, he's casting out the demons by the power of Satan. Religion is darkness, spiritual darkness. Holds people in bondage. What bondage are you in? Are you in the bondage of illness? Illness that can't go away. Are you in the bondage of a bad habit, a sinful habit? Unhealthy habit. Pornography. Drug addiction. Alcohol. Smoking. What bondage are you in? Let me tell you, it does not matter. Maybe as I speak right now, you're saying, oh, wow. How do I free myself from this? You can't free yourself. You need Jesus to set you free. You need Jesus to set you free. You need Jesus to break that bondage over your life. You need Jesus to bring freedom into your life. Let me tell you, only Jesus is able to set you free from that bondage. So what do? You embrace Jesus. Welcome Jesus in your life. Maybe there's bondage in your family. Maybe people are dying prematurely. Maybe, you know, it's the bondage of barrenness. Whatever it is, I tell you, there's Jesus who is able. He's able to bring freedom into your life and into your family. Maybe it's a bondage of violence, a bondage of disunity in your family. Whatever it is, could it be the bondage of anger? I mean, you cut wires abnormally. Now, everybody cuts wires, but it's abnormal. You could be in that bondage. Jesus is able to set you free. He is the freedom giver, the light of Jesus. Final story. Remember Jesus, the perfect light. And because he is the light of the world, he overcomes darkness in our lives. Spiritual darkness. Hey, physical, whatever darkness is in our lives. And he gives us light. So the third story, the difference that Jesus as the perfect light makes in our lives. So one day, Jesus was moving from Capernaum to Nain. Capernaum was one of these cities in Judea, to Nain, another town. And on the way, he sees a funeral procession, a crowd carrying a coffin of a dead young man. This young man was the only son of a widow. Think about it. A widow, a woman who has lost her husband, and she's lost her son. When Jesus saw the coffin, first of all, when Jesus saw the widow, his heart was broken. His heart was filled with compassion for that woman, that widow. And Jesus then stopped and he touched the coffin. And the people who were carrying the coffin also at that point stopped. And Jesus told the boy, "Rise up." And the boy rose up alive. He left the coffin a living person, no longer a dead person. You know what that means? Jesus is able to bring life where there is death. Jesus is able to bring life where there is death. Maybe as I speak right now, the medical report that you have been given is that you have a short time to live. Jesus says something different. And when Jesus comes into your life, your story will change. The medical report will not read like that. The medical report of Jesus will be, "You will live to see my purposes for your life fulfilled." Maybe as I speak right now, there's a dream you've lost. Maybe as I speak right now, you've lost someone recently. You're going to spend this Christmas without that loved one. Oh, maybe there's a relationship you've lost. Maybe you have lost money. Let me tell you, there is the life giver. His name is Jesus. All you need to do is to trust in him. Yes. Yes. Yes, he is the life giver. He is the hope giver. Now, let me just tell a bit of it. Let me tell you. I was telling you about Sela. We waited for 5 years to have a child. And last year, when we were in Brisbane, Australia, our friends paid for us to see the doctors. They checked me, they checked my wife, and they said, "There's nothing wrong with you, but we don't know why you cannot have children." And they talked about having assisted. They said, there's a procedure here. You can have assisted pregnancy. But we couldn't afford it. And it meant us living in Australia for a year. Can you imagine me being away from here for a year? Yes, we came back. To be precise, we came back in September last year. And we continued calling on the name of the Lord. Then in Feb, my wife surprises me with good news. She said, "Calvin, I think we are pregnant. I think we are pregnant." So we went for a test across the road, IMC. And the doctors, Dr. Arthur, I've forgotten the other name, he's a member of another church. He said, congratulations, you're pregnant. It is 6 weeks. Marakama Sunday. Let me tell you, my friends, the Spirit of God is in this place. Let me tell you, the light, Jesus, the perfect light, is able to bring life into dead situations. Situations of death, whatever that situation is, whatever it is, let me tell you, you can call on Jesus and life will happen. 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 Life. So I need to end. I've gone over time. Sorry about that, Pastor Philip. But I want to ask people with candles, come. Listen, I'm not the perfect light. None of us is. Jesus is the only perfect light. He's the bigger light. Oh, when he shines, you can't fail to see him. But there are people who are actually close to the light, but they're not experiencing the light. Jesus wants you to experience him as the light in your life. Don't just see the light. Come on. Don't just admire the light. Experience the life. The light. How do you experience the light? By receiving Jesus in your life. But Jesus is no longer here physically, but he's here on earth through his church, through you and me. And so he tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 that you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men through your good deeds that they may glorify your Father in heaven. And so Jesus, the light of Jesus now shines through us. So I want every candle that is here to be lit. Come on, light those candles. Light them. This is the light, Jesus, the perfect light. But Jesus wants each one of us to be the light, to be the light in our homes. Don't be an instrument of darkness. Be an instrument of light. Be the light in your home. Be the light to your neighbor. Be the light to your friend. Be the light at your workplace. Be the light in your school. Be the light in this city. Be the light in Kampala. Be different through your good deeds. And when we shine our light, our lights through our good deeds, God receives the glory. God receives praise. Are you committed to being the light of Jesus wherever he has placed you? Child of God, man of God, you are a man of God, you're a woman of God. You're the light of Jesus wherever you are. When you're driving on the road, be the right light of Jesus wherever you are.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.